If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And we will be there momentarily. Of course, Friday was Independence Day. And again, as Americans, we celebrate that freedom that we have in this country, the freedom that we have to come and gather here in church on a Sunday morning and worship the Lord together here in His house with His people. But we also ought to be sure to, as Christians, celebrate the freedom that we have and is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact and the truth that He bought our soul at Calvary and bought our freedom at Calvary. And when we come to that realization, we come to realize very quickly that true freedom is not the ability to do as we please. True freedom is the ability and the power to do what God pleases and to do what God would have us to do. And again, as Americans, we celebrate freedom and we thank God for our liberty, but oftentimes we lose sight of the answer to the question, what is liberty really? What is freedom truly for the Christian? And here in the book of Ecclesiastes, we find, of course, King Solomon. And King Solomon was perhaps the wisest king in Israel's history. He was perhaps the wealthiest king in Israel's history. And as you study his life, you find very quickly that Solomon had total freedom. He was, for lack of a better term, and for all purposes, he was the original, well, you know, you hear the phrase, you do you. Well, he was the you do you kind of man. And if he saw it, then he got it. If he dreamed it, he did it. And he had the freedom to go where he wanted, freedom to be what he wanted, freedom to have what he wanted. And it was this freedom that seemingly made him a success, because over his life, you find Solomon, he would gain friends, he would gain fortune, he would gain females, he would gain fame. But then in the end, when the spotlight faded and the crowd had thinned out and the crowd had left him fully behind, Solomon looked around and he saw it for what it truly was. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Go there if you would. Keep your finger at chapter 12. We'll be back there. But just a few chapters back, chapter 1. And notice there if you would, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" Solomon looks around and he sees what his freedom earned him. He sees what his friends have earned him. He sees what his fortune has earned him. He sees and finds what the females have earned him. He sees and learns what fame has earned him. And he says in the end that it's vanity of vanities. In other words, it is empty. All is vanity. All is empty. You say, why is that? Well, it's because of this simple truth this morning. And that is, Solomon had within his life a false freedom. And a false freedom will always lead us to real bondage. You're there, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And notice there, if you would, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us this simple thought: freedom that fails. Freedom that fails. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, we do thank you for the freedoms that we do have as Americans, and for the freedom that as Christians we have in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, Lord, as we gather here again on a Sunday morning, we pray that you would speak to hearts. We pray that you would help us see where true freedom and liberty actually comes from. And it comes from your Word and from your Son. And Lord, now we just pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message this morning be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, it's very interesting how the book of Ecclesiastes ends. Solomon ends the book of Ecclesiastes: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If you know anything about the life of King Solomon, you know that when he first started out, Solomon had a great zeal for the Lord. He had a great hunger for the Lord and for the things of God. But then progressively, as he went on with his life, and again, as he gained that freedom and as he gained that fame and that fortune and those friends and those females, as he started to get a little bit further in life, all of a sudden that zeal began to fade, and all of a sudden that hunger for the Lord began to fade. And at the time we find Solomon at the end of his life, you no longer find a man who is on fire for God. You no longer find a man who is zealous for the things of God. You find a man who is no longer all in for the things of God. But you find a man who is broken and backslidden, and he's in bondage to the things of his past and to the things of his life. But what's interesting is that Ecclesiastes ends the same way that the book of Proverbs begun. Look there, if you would, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And notice there, if you would, verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's amazing that at the beginning of Solomon's life, he knew what was the truth. And by the end of Solomon's life, he again knew what the truth was. But it's everything that happened in between. That if he would have just stood and stuck by and stayed by what he knew to be true, that it was the fear of the Lord that brought knowledge, he would have never had everything in between. And he would have never ended his life backslidden. He would have ended his life just as on fire for God as he had begun his life. There's several things we see about Solomon's false freedom that leads to personal bondage this morning. We find that Solomon seemed free, but he was actually enslaved. And he was enslaved to a number of things. We're going to walk through the book of Ecclesiastes this morning just a little bit. And so find your place there, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Because we see some of the chains that bound Solomon this morning. The first being he was bound by fear. He was bound by fear because when you live without boundaries, you begin to fear the consequences. Look there, if you would, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity." Solomon, we find here, he feared that wisdom and foolishness was the same, that it would end the same, that it would end in death. And we see that he was bound by fear. But not only was he bound by fear, we see, secondly, he was bound by faithlessness. He was bound by faithlessness. The man who once spoke to God face to face in a dream, who built the temple, who saw God do miraculous things, he now doubted it was even worth it at all. He now doubted the point of everything he had done to that point. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "For that which befalleth the sons of man befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity." We see the first part of that verse, verse number 19, "For all that befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts." He started here, this was and is the thinking of an atheist, that there is no God, that there is no difference between us and the animals of the world. There is no difference. What is the point of it all? He began to have some faithlessness set in. But then thirdly, we see he had fear of false friendships. You know, when you have money and the money is flowing, all of a sudden your friends should start to show up, don't they? And, you know, we don't believe in playing the lottery as Christians. But, you know, you've heard of people who they play the lottery and, you know, they get all this money. And all of a sudden they have friends they never knew about. And friends, they show up and think, "Man, I haven't seen you in 20 years. And when the money starts coming in, all of a sudden your friends show. But then when the thrill dies down, so often does your relationships. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 14:20, the Bible says, "The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich have many friends. Solomon wrote it, and he lived it. But not only that, we see he dealt with foolishness in his life. He gave himself to every foolish thing under the sun. Look at you at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them." Whatever he desired, he had to have. You know, not much has changed in our day and age, has it? You've heard me use the illustration before. You know, the newest iPhone releases, people line up around the block to, they go to Best Buy and they camp out overnight to get the latest tech, and they have to have it. Solomon did the same thing. He gave himself foolishness. Whatever I wanted, I got. But then we see he had battles and feelings of depression. Notice there, Ecclesiastes 2 and 17. Ecclesiastes 2, 17. "Therefore, I hated life." Therefore, I hated life. Imagine that. A king in his gold robes, on a golden throne, in golden halls, with all the friends he could want, with all the fame he could want, with all the finances he could want, with all the females he could want, with whatever his eyes saw he could have. And here it says, "Therefore, I hated life." It's a simple principle, but it bears repeating. It's because the materialistic does not last. You know that new iPhone you bought for however much money it cost? It's just like a new car. You take it out of the box, you get it set up, you open it, you start using it. Within a week, it's obsolete, and it's depreciated in value. And then they only make it the last 2 years before you start getting ads for the next new one. The things that are materialistic, they do not last. Our friends, our fame, our fortune, they can all be gone in a moment. But there's one thing that cannot and will not leave us, and that is our Heavenly Father. That's what we need to realize this morning. "But therefore I hated life." Then number next, we see he had about him a furiousness. He became angry at seeming injustices and at life's unfairness. Look, if you would, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter." And then seventh, we see that at the end of it all, he had fear of failure. Because despite what mattered, despite everything, Solomon failed at what mattered most. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Kings 11:4, the Bible tells us his wives turned away his heart after other gods. His wives turned away his heart after other gods. What you find out very quickly is that if you are hanging and around the wrong type of people, eventually they're going to try and do what Solomon's friends, his wives, did to him. And they're going to try and turn your heart away from the very God of heaven that loved you and that you're supposed to yourself love. And that's why it's very important that you are careful with who you surround yourself with. And it's very careful who you claim to. You say, oh, they're my friend. Well, listen, if they're really your friend, they're going to work on helping you draw closer to God, not drawing you away from God, not taking you away from God. They're going to help your relationship with God grow, and you grow and become closer and stronger in your walk with God. You know, it's like a man who inherits a mansion. And he takes that mansion and he fills it with treasures. He fills it with guests. But then that man, he dies alone in the attic, with all the lights turned off. What's it matter if he had the mansion that was filled with guests and with treasures? It matters not. And so then Solomon, he comes to the true conclusion. And he closes the book of Ecclesiastes with a loud and final verdict. Look there again, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into the judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon here, he doesn't say at the end of his life to be rich. He doesn't say at the end of his life to be remembered. He doesn't say at the end of his life to even be respected. No, Solomon says here, at the end of your life, the best thing you can find yourself to be is to be right with God. Is to be right with God. Why? Because freedom, true freedom, or false freedom, excuse me, without God, leads to judgment. Verse 14 again. For God shall bring every work. That means everything we have done, past, present, or future, until we meet Christ in the air. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. That means the thing that nobody else knows about. That you're very good at keeping secret from people. You may be able to keep it secret from your spouse, from a family member, from your pastor, but you won't be able to keep it secret from God. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so then you say, what is true freedom then? Well, true freedom is not lasciviousness. True freedom is a liberty to live holy. True freedom is a liberty to live holy. Go over, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 2. Keep your finger in Ecclesiastes. We'll be back there. But find your place in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And notice here, if you would, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the arrogance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Notice that last part, verse number 16. As free. In other words, as Christians, you have been set free. And so now, as a free people, not using your liberty, not using your freedom in Christ for a cloak of maliciousness, not for a cloak for sin, but as the servants of God. You see, this morning Solomon used his liberty, his freedom, as a cloak for sin. But God says, hey, you're free, but you're not free from me. You're free for me. And see, that's the difference. We think, okay, now that we're saved, now that we're Christians, we're free just to do whatever we want to do. And that means, well, we're just even free from God. No, we're not free from Him. We're free for Him. And so our liberty this morning does not equal lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, defined in the Bible, just simply means an unrestrained lust, an unchecked indulgence. Give an example. You ever been to a buffet? And you go through the first time, and you get your plate of food. You go, you sit down, you eat your food. You go back for a second plate. You go, you sit down, you have your second plate. You go have your dessert. And then you think, you're sitting there thinking, man, I feel full, but I just paid $15, $20 for this buffet. I got to get my money's worth. So I got to go back up and I got to get more, even though I'm full. You're being unrestrained. You're being unchecked. You're indulging in something you probably should not indulge in, that you're going to feel later on. That's what that word lasciviousness means. It's an unrestrained lust. It's an unchecked indulgence. But liberty, according to the Bible, is the ability to live above sin, not under sin. Galatians 5:13, you don't have to turn there. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You see, folks, this morning, real freedom is not doing what you want to do. Real freedom is doing what God made for you to do. You know, you think about a train this morning. A train is only free on the tracks. As long as it stays on the tracks, it's going to run just fine. But if you take it off the tracks, well, all of a sudden you find very quickly that train can't move as well off the tracks. It crashes, it burns. You and I, we were made best to run on God's design. Solomon says here, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, "Fear God and keep His commandments." Fear God and keep His commandments. That's not a fence. That's not a hindrance to us living our life. No, I look at it as it's a railroad track to the blessings of God and to God's blessings on our life. So here we see the final word from a wise man. Solomon says and tells us, I tried it all. I chased it all. I had it all. And it was all nothing. And then he pulls back the curtain and he says, let me tell you what really matters. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's our whole duty. That's where our true and real freedom is found. And so this morning, you're going to be one of two people. You're either going to have a freedom that fails and is not true freedom at all, or you're going to have a real freedom that's going to last now and throughout all of eternity. For one day when we stand before God, we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.